I'd like to read firstly in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, page 1219. Page 1219, Luke chapter 1, verse 26. But in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent of God to a city of Galilee, of which the name was Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came into her and said, Hail, thou favoured one, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. But she, seeing the angel, was troubled at his word, and reasoned in her mind what this salutation might be. And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in the womb and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of David his father, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob for the ages. And of his kingdom there shall not be an end. But Mary said to the angel, How shall this be, since I know not a man? And the angel answering said to her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and power of the Highest overshadow thee. Wherefore the holy thing also which shall be born shall be called Son of God. And then in the near the end of that same chapter, page 1221, verse 78. The day spring from on high has visited us to shine upon them who were sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And then finally in John chapter 18, page 1296. John chapter 18, verse 33. Page 1296. Pilate therefore entered again into the praetorium and called Jesus, and said to him, Thou art the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Dost thou say this of thyself, or have others said it to thee concerning me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thy nation and the chief priests have delivered thee up to me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants had fought that I might not be delivered up to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from hence. Pilate therefore said to him, Thou art then a king? Jesus answered, Thou sayest it that I am a king. I have been born for this, and for this I have come into the world, that I might bear witness to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate says to him, What is truth? And having said this, he went out again to the Jews and says to them, I find no fault whatever in him. Both these passages that I read speak about the Lord Jesus as a king. We have seen empires fall, we've seen people, rulers and presidents lose their power. The president of Syria recently lost his power in a very short space of time. Next year we have a new president in America. Presidents and kings and rulers come and go. Even the greatest and most powerful of them, the Roman Empire, was in power when Jesus was born at this time. They held on to power for hundreds of years. We can see maps from the Bible. The Roman Empire stretched as far as this country, all the way down to Israel. It was a mighty empire that was greatly feared by its enemies. If you got on the wrong side of the Roman Empire, you ended up often on a cross. How fearsome it was, all those empires that have risen and fallen throughout human history. And yet here, in the coming in of the Lord Jesus, what does it say about his kingdom? It says, He shall be called Son of the Highest, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob, and of his kingdom there shall not be an end. What a wonderful thing that is. The Lord Jesus Christ is a king. He's the King of the Jews. And when He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When Herod first heard about him being born, he was filled with fear, wasn't he? He heard from the wise men that they had heard that a king had been born. The message tonight, dear friends, is that a king. We're going to celebrate the birth of a king. Not any king of this world. Kings of this world don't have much importance, do they, in comparison? All the great kings of history, we know about them in the history books, but we don't talk about King Henry VIII every day of our life, do we? We don't talk about the kings that have come and gone and were very powerful in their time. But dear friends, I can present to you tonight the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And his kingdom shall not have an end. How amazing that is. And the gospel tonight is an invitation. It's an invitation to be brought into the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. How different the Lord Jesus' life was. From the very beginning, from the very start of this story, we have the angel Gabriel appearing to Mary. Mighty events, mighty miracles happen all the way through. Angels appear to people. Angel appeared to Mary to say that she was going to have a child, although she was a virgin. How mighty events happened throughout the scriptures. And what a tremendous thing it is to have the scriptural version, the scriptures that tell us of the Lord Jesus coming into the world. This, dear friend, is the greatest king that we can know. And this, dear friend, is the king who wants to meet you. Because he wants to meet you as a saviour tonight, dear friends. What a wonderful message there is. The message of the biblical message of Christmas. The world calls it Christmas. We call it the coming in of our Lord Jesus Christ into this world. What a wonderful, mighty, life-giving message it is, dear friends. He came in order to save his people from their sins. A king whose path was going to lead to the cross. A king whose path was going to become, to lead to the cross, to become the sacrificial Lamb of God. There are many, many titles that the Lord Jesus has. Many beautiful titles. But one of the titles that we have in this passage are, he shall be called Son of the Highest. In other words, Son of the Most High God. That's another title the Lord Jesus is given. That means that he's equal with God. He's equal with none other than the Creator God. What a mighty, beautiful title that is. Why did he come into the world, dear friends? He came in for you. Isn't that an amazing truth? All these years later, about 2,000 years later, the message of the gospel has the same power. Today, in 2024, we're getting to the near the end of 2024, and God has waited upon this world in grace. He's waited in patience. He's not a God who wants to bring in judgment. He's a God who's holy and righteous and has to bring in judgment on the earth. That's why Jesus was sent, in order to come in to die for our sins. He will save his people, but he shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give him the throne of David his father, and he is going to reign over the house of Jacob for the ages, and of his kingdom there shall not be an end. The gospel is an invitation, dear friends, for you to come into his kingdom. Isn't that amazing? The kingdoms of this world, you can only get into a kingdom if you have citizenship of the country. Some kingdoms are hard to get into. People risk their lives to get into various places of the world so that they can be part of that country. Dear friends, God's kingdom extends to all nations of the world. How amazing that is. The gospel goes out to all, whosoever will may come. It doesn't matter what we've done, it doesn't matter what our background is, it doesn't matter where we've come from. And God is indeed working across the nations. He's working amongst every kindred, tongue, people and nation. How beautiful that is. He invites you into his kingdom. He invites you into that kingdom which shall not have an end. The Bible tells us quite a bit about this coming kingdom, especially in Revelation, but in many other places. But the things that Jesus did, the miracles that Jesus did during his life, I think, were a little bit of a foretaste of his coming kingdom, a little bit of a look forward. What did Jesus do in his miracles? He healed the sick. His coming kingdom will not have sickness in it. There shall be no grief, nor cry, no sorrow. Every tear has been wiped away, as it tells us in Revelation. He opened the eyes of the blind. He heals blindness. Not just physical blindness, but spiritual blindness. We are in a world of spiritual blindness. People can't see their need. They can't see God. They can't see their need of the Lord Jesus. They can't see themselves as they really are, as sinners, before a holy God. The world goes on ignoring God, doesn't it? The world goes on ignoring the gospel, ignoring the good news of the Lord Jesus, ignoring the danger that lies ahead. There is indeed danger lying ahead. He came in order to save his people from their sins. Why do we need to be saved from sin? We need to be saved from sin, dear friends, because God is a holy God. God is a holy and righteous God, a God who has to judge sin. And this is what it took. It took none other than the Son of God himself, equal with God the Father. It was not an object of robbery for him to be on an equality with God. He was able to say things like, "Which of you accuses me of sin?" I was touched by that during the week. "Which of you accuses me of sin?" Could anyone else say that? Could any of us say to anyone else around us, "Can you accuse me? Can you pin any blame on me?" It wouldn't take us very long, would it? It wouldn't take us long at all for us all to have blame pinned on us for doing something wrong, for breaking God's commandments, for telling a lie, for being disobedient to our parents, for being jealous of others, for not loving God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. All of those things, we've broken the law. And yet Jesus was able to say, "Which of you accuses me of sin?" And then he says, "I and the Father are one." In other words, I'm equal with God. What a statement. What a claim. Jesus makes radical, mighty claims to be equal with God. He does that time and time again. How wonderful to see the life of the Lord Jesus in the Gospels, but to think that it ended at the cross. That pathway led to the cross, dear friends. He will reign over the earth. He will reign over the house of David, and his kingdom shall not be an end. But at the end of Luke chapter 1, why did he come into the world? He came to shine upon them who were sitting in darkness. He came to shine upon those who are sitting in darkness. That's us. That's every single person in the world, away from God. We're sitting in darkness. If we're sitting in darkness, if there's no light, we can't see the danger, can we? How many times there people have been fallen into danger or injury or even death because they haven't seen something in the darkness, or someone has attacked them in the darkness. They haven't seen the danger that's lying there. That's a very powerful illustration for us, isn't it? A powerful illustration that if you are in darkness, there could be terrible danger there and you haven't realized. The gospel is shining. The message of the gospel is shining tonight so that those who are sitting in darkness may be guided into the way of peace. We're automatically on the way to death. We're automatically, by our own willfulness and by our own sin, we're on the path that leads to death. That there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end are the ways of death, it tells us in Proverbs. We automatically are not on the way of peace. We need to be guided into the way of peace. What is the way of peace, dear friends? The way of peace with God is to be reconciled and to know the Lord Jesus Christ as the Prince of Peace. People like the idea of peace at Christmas, don't they? They like the thought about peace at Christmas. Some people's Christmas, we trust, we'll have a peaceful Christmas, and that's a good thing to hope for, isn't it? But in a sin-stricken world full of sin and wickedness, Some people have the opposite, don't they? Some people live in parts of war. Some people thought they were safe going to a Christmas market in Germany. How often it happens? And they found themselves in the midst of terrible carnage and destruction. How sad that is. It's the picture of man's wickedness and man's evil. That, dear friends, will continue on the earth until the Lord Jesus reigns. The only way to have peace is through the Prince of Peace, to know the Prince of Peace, another title of the Lord Jesus, another name that he has, the Prince of Peace. So John the Baptist came to show the way and pointed the way to Jesus, to know peace. How can we know peace? How can we truly know peace with God? Peace isn't just when war stops and fighting stops, is it? Peace is peace inside. The peace that God offers us is peace inside. Peace with knowing that our conscience has been cleansed. We've been washed clean from our sins. That's the only true peace that comes. And that's why you should find peace amongst God's people. And we trust we do, to some degree. You find peace amongst God's people who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, who have been redeemed and washed clean from their sins and made to be brought into his kingdom. Jesus had to go into death in order for you to be able to have peace, dear friends. And what a picture this is when Jesus is standing before Pilate. Pilate was a very powerful man. He had the authority to put prisoners to death or to let them live. Pilate said that. He said, "Do you not know that I've got the authority to deliver you up to death or to release you?" Jesus said something very interesting, doesn't he? "You have no authority unless it will be given to you from above." And every word of Jesus, everything that Jesus says, has mighty power, doesn't it? That's why in some Bibles, the words of Jesus are highlighted in red. Every single word of the Bible is vitally important for us to read. But even more, just as important, or even more important, are the words of the Lord Jesus. If you had a Bible and you just read the words of Jesus, that would be a tremendous blessing to you. But have a look at the words of Jesus in the Gospels, whether or not it's highlighted in red. But what does he say here? Pilate says to Jesus, "You are the King of the Jews." And then he says to Jesus, "You are a king." What an impact Jesus must have had standing before Pilate. And then Pilate says to Jesus, "What have you done? What have you done?" What a question to ask Jesus. What had Jesus done? Jesus had done nothing but good. He'd done nothing but good works. He had healed the sick. He'd raised the dead. He'd opened the eyes of the blind. He'd opened the ears of the deaf. What has Jesus done? What a question. The life of Jesus was full of good works. It was full of the outpouring of grace and power from God on an undeserving world. What the life of Jesus had done. But the life of Jesus is not sufficient. It wasn't sufficient for us to be redeemed. It required him to go into death. And at the centre of the Christian message is the cross. A while ago in Sunday school, we had some pictures where we were illustrating the stable scene, the very famous, well-known stable scene. I haven't got one up here. But one of them that really appealed to me was the shadow of the cross over the stable scene. The shadow of the cross was over Jesus' life. Every day, every moment of his life, the shadow of the cross was over his life. How touching that is. Think of him growing up as a young boy. 5, 6, 7, 8. At 12 years old, he was in the temple asking the Pharisees and answering their questions. They were amazed at his knowledge and answers. The shadow of the cross was hanging over him at the age of 12. It was hanging over him at the age of 18. And then in 30, he began his public ministry. And then he started eventually to tell his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and be delivered up and killed. They couldn't take it in. It was too much for them. They understood that he was the Messiah, But the fact that he had to go to Jerusalem and be delivered up and scourged and crucified and killed was too much. They just couldn't take it in. How horrified they must have been when they saw him nailed to the cross. None of them were brave enough to go with him to the cross. Even Peter, who thought he was brave enough, Peter was perhaps the bravest of them all. He denied Jesus at the moment of pressure, just like we would have done. How horrifying it was for them to realise that Jesus had to go to the cross. And he told them time and time again. The last people who were with Jesus at the cross were the women, interestingly. And they were the first people to see Jesus at the resurrection. But he says to Jesus says to Pilate, what an amazing thing this is. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants had fought that I might not be delivered up to the Jews. Well, Peter did try to fight. He swung a sword, didn't he, and took off the ear of one of the bondmen of the high priest. What did Jesus do? He immediately healed that ear. He healed the ear of a man who had come to drag him away to be crucified. What an impact that must have had. My kingdom is not of this world. That means his kingdom is from another world. The message of the gospel tonight is a message, in that sense, from another world. It's a message of an invitation to come into a kingdom of another world. The Lord Jesus came down from heaven and invites us to go with him to heaven. He says to his followers in John chapter 14, I'm coming. In my Father's house there are many rooms. And I'm coming to receive you to myself. That you means every believer. That where I am, ye may be also. Isn't that an amazing thing? Every religion of this world tells us to do our best. Jesus has come from another world. And he's come in order to bring us into his kingdom. He's come in order to give us an invitation, an opportunity to be saved. In order to put our faith and trust in what he has done at Calvary's cross. There was no way out for him. There was no way of escape for Jesus. He had to go up, die that horrible, brutal death that Pilate's men were going to inflict upon him. He had to die the death that we deserve to die. We cannot fully take in the horror of the cross. We cannot fully take in the horror of the crucifixion. But dear friends, this Christmas we can know that the Lord Jesus came in to die for us. Can you say that he came in to die for me? Can you say in your heart, can you know in your heart that he has washed away your sins? Do you know in your heart that he truly is your King and is King of your life? We confess him as Lord and Saviour. That means to accept his rule over our lives. Because if we're part of a kingdom, that means we are under the rule of the King. He is a king, the King of a kingdom which shall have no end. My kingdom is not of this world. What is the world that that Jesus is the King of? He's the King of the coming world, the King of heaven. Praise my soul, the King of heaven is one of the hymns. How beautiful that is and how wonderful. An invitation that we have once more tonight to recognise our need of him. To recognise that he went to the cross on our behalf. He went to the cross in our place. A couple of the interesting people, very interesting people that came to know Jesus, was one of them was one of the criminals who died beside Jesus. And the other one that always strikes me as amazing is one of the centurion. The centurion's men a short time before had crucified Jesus. The centurion becomes a Christian. Truly this man was Son of God. Can you think of more better examples of grace and mercy than one of the criminals dying beside Jesus and the centurion whose men had crucified Jesus? What an amazing picture of God's mercy and grace that those two people could be saved and many, many others. If those two can be saved, then we can too, can't we? And that's a picture, a reminder for us that no one is too evil, too wicked to be saved. He died and he rose again. That, dear friends, makes all the difference. Because he's coming to take all those who have trusted in him. We do not know how much longer the gospel will go out. Maybe we won't get into 2025. We do not know how long we've got. Many, I always say this, I know I repeat it, but there's many signs of the coming of the Lord Jesus for his saints. Many signs. And may we have a time of blessing over this Christmas. May we truly know assurance in our hearts that we have been redeemed out of this world. Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. This world goes on to judgment. This world is going to be judged by God for the evil that is done. How evident the evil is around us. It's getting worse and worse. The evil and this judgment, the judgment of this world stands recorded. God is going to call to account all those who have sinned against him, which is every one of us. And yes, unless we have been redeemed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We repent before God and we put our faith and trust in his perfect finished work. He's open and available to every one of us tonight. And may we all receive a blessing before it is too late. And may we all have a greater appreciation of what he has done for us, for his name's sake.